I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 264. And that is two in a row that you have been like Peppy McPepperson. All right, the first one. Here you go, Carrie, since you're so close to running out. Second time writing in because I'm not cool enough to have encounters. Love listening to others, though. Also, just recently finished listening to the episode that Donna announces the passing of Marbu. Bawled my eyes out. Pet loss is so tough. I'm so sorry for your loss. Okay, through teary eyes and all, here is my story. So that must be why the last one had so much with pets, too. It must be right around that time.
Yeah. Whew.
When I was around 5 years old and an only child, the days. Just kidding. I love my baby brother, but it was a great time as an only child. I was laying in bed in my room at the end of a long hall, listening to mom's TV show faintly playing in the living room. Probably MASH or something. 90s TV. Am I right? And I started pretending me and my then boyfriend are on a date and he's asking for a kiss or something. Remember, I'm 5. And I keep talking and my mom is yelling for me to be quiet and go to sleep. Then my little alarm radio starts turning on and off, blaring music from the radio. On and off. On and off. I go up to turn it off and it turns off. But the dial was already in the off position. I get back in bed and it turns on. I walk in the living room to tell my mom, and she said she didn't hear anything and says, "Now get to bed." The radio does it a few more times, then stops. I guess I go to sleep, probably with the cover over my head because that always makes the spooky shit easier to ignore. A few weeks later, my house is being renovated and the gas line is punctured, resulting in a fireball on the bathroom wall that shares the wall with my bedroom. I was in my bedroom jumping on my bed in a fancy dress I wasn't supposed to be wearing since it's like a formal or costume type dress when I see the huge fire in the wall of my bedroom right next to the door, the only way to exit my room. It was a blur. I'm trying hard to remember 33 years ago is tough. I remember taking the dress off and being carried out of the house, later being told that the firefighters were looking for me all while I was safe outside on the curb by the street. That was 33 years ago, but I feel like there was something in that room, a presence protecting me. I'm not sure. After about 20 years, so 2011-ish, I asked my mom about the house and she said, "Oh yeah, an old lady died in that room." What? Why did you let your only child sleep in that room? Maybe she was a sweet old lady that liked me because according to the firemen, I would not have survived being in the room by the time they arrived. Love listening to y'all from Texas. Heather W. sent January 4th for those keeping up with the dates. Wait, so you don't know who carried you out of the house?
Yeah, wait.
Holy shit.
That's wild. Also, you sound like a lot of fun.
I mean, it blared a dress I wasn't supposed to. Oh, God. That's why your parents had a second one. They need somebody to entertain your ass.
Also, did you say that you were pretending that you were with your boyfriend?
Did that a lot.
Me too.
By the time I was far too old to still be pretending this, we would always be watching Sister Act, and I would pretend to be holding his hand.
Wait, you and the guy?
Yeah, I would pretend to be holding his hand while we watched Sister Act.
Y'all were watching Sister Act.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, just
yeah. Well, you did the pinky like you were just trying.
No, I just would hold his hand. I'd be like, "Shh, the movie's on." No, I'm kidding. I never did that. But
I was like, "No way, no way." But like, you would just in your mind's eye, you were holding hands.
I would hop to my hand out. I mean, I would like talk to him.
Yeah,
my parents probably thought I was the weirdest kid. I wonder how often they heard me talking to nobody.
Wait.
I never told
I'm
you
so
this.
Confused.
I never told you this.
No, hold on. Okay, I'm so confused. Because I know there was a guy that you liked. I thought you meant that you and him were watching.
No, fuck no. He hated me. Did you not listen to the last episode?
I know he did, but y'all like went to the same church and stuff.
No.
And it's Sister Act. I mean, not a church movie, but, you know.
Me and Dolores Van Cartier. No, in my living room.
Well, that's why I said, oh, y'all were watching it together.
No.
Like, yeah.
Like, in my pretend. But
it was too much. I was like.
It was too much detail. I made it very real. It was real in my head. It's probably why he hated me. I'm like, remember last night? And he's like, we didn't talk last night.
Yeah, no, I've done the same thing, but like, I literally was like, oh, you're more than me. Cause like, you actually had the guy beside you and you were just like,
doing no, he never thing. Sat beside me.
And so I was like, damn, you got one up on me. Cause it was just, and then no,
when you it was said, all pretend.
Your parents probably thought you're weird. I was like, maybe forward. And then you said, I wonder how many times they've heard me talking to us. And then it was like, oh, wait.
You are weird.
No, I've done that.
Oh, good.
Okay, enough reminiscing about Carrie. The next story, the Graber Olive House story.
Oh, Lord. Donna's going to be back on these damn olives.
Hey, it's Shauna. You might remember me as a girl who has a pug named Puggery Dahmer. I just wanted to say I'm listening to the episode that features the Graber Olive House, and I actually investigated at the Graber Olive House a few times and was lucky enough to investigate with Mark and Debbie. Wow. It was very sad what happened to them. Your story reminded me the night I was actually at the Graber Olive House with Debbie and Mark on an investigation, and Debbie and I excused ourselves to have a smoke break. We got to talking about different places they've investigated, and Debbie said that she thought that everything went dark for them after they went to Bobby Mackey's Music World. She said that they were never the same, and they would hear and see strange things in their home ever since being there. Just thought I would share because there was something Donna said that brought me right back to that moment. Keep up the good work, spooky ladies.
That's wow that you were with them. Because that's the one that the couple...
Yeah, that they...
killed her?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, I knew them from... I mean, not like she knew them, but I knew them just from Ghost Adventures and stuff. But gosh, like, yeah, you being there and her actually saying that. Because I really do, like, I don't feel like that's the only reason, because they were a volatile couple from what we could see. But, like, I really just feel like you do pick up on energy and stuff. Because, like, I know that I change in certain situations. Like, it's just the vibe that you get. And I can't imagine, like, you know, haunting where, like, demons are supposed to be and all this negative energy and stuff. And, like, I feel like if... that's the kind of people, like, it kind of gravitates to, and it's going to feed off of that. And so, gosh, that's just heartbreaking. Thank you for sharing that. Also, did you have any experience, or did you taste the olives?
I was about to say, more importantly for Donna, are the olives everything that she hopes they are?
Because Zach was making them look real good.
Before we get into the next story, we got to talk about Lumi deodorant. Because nothing makes you feel more comfortable in your skin than, well, when your skin don't stink.
And it's getting hot, hot, hot. And I want to stink not, not, not. And I just got back from the cruise. And let me tell you, I used toasted coconut on all my bits.
And you weren't stinking a bit.
No, that's right.
That's what's so good about Lumi deodorant. Is that it's not like other deodorants. It's powered by mandelic acid, so that gives you 72 hours of odor control literally everywhere. Like Donna said, her bits, her pits, her tits, all the its. It's pH balanced to literally use everywhere, so you can use it in your undercarriage and your feet.
Because you know when you're walking and it's hot, those feet do be stankin'.
But with Lumi deodorant and, well, all of Lumi's products, that is of yesteryear. What other products do they have? Well, they got body wash. They've got the deodorant sticks. They've got wipes. They got lotions. They have all kinds of things to fix you from head to toe.
And if you're like me and you love the toasted coconut scent, that means you're elite. But even if you don't like scents or if you're too sensitive to scents, they have unscented, they have different scents, and I really do love them all.
Lumi knows that, you know, sometimes you can get nervous about trying a new, you know, new product. So they have developed a starter pack, and this is perfect for people who are like, I want to dip my toe in this little Lumi deodorant, Well, it comes with a solid stick of deodorant, a cream tube deodorant, and then two free products of your choice. So you could get the deodorant wipes or the mini body wash, and that all comes with free shipping. And that lets you try out all the different scents or unscented to see what's your favorite. Because y'all know, y'all have heard me say it before, I was using Lumi deodorant before they became a sponsor on this podcast. I had ordered me a stick, I'd ordered Colby a stick, and we were using it in our bits and pits. Because y'all, it is swamp ass season, and we need all the help we can get. Right now, new customers can get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code CREEP.
And if you combine the 15% off the already discounted starter pack, that equates to over 40% off their starter pack. So use code CREEP for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com.
That's Lumi Deodorant, LumiDeodorant.com. And use promo code CREEP at checkout for 15% off your first purchase. Okay, the next one. Hello, ladies. Love the podcast. Almost all caught up. Yay and boo, because I need more. Moving on. I used to work in the basement of a lawyer's office in London, Ontario. In my first week of being a basement troll, I kept seeing something walk past the door out of the corner of my eye. I got so mad, I stomped my foot and yelled, "What the hell is that?" shocking the shit out of my coworkers. After telling them what I saw, they were like, "Oh, that's just Angus. Who the hell is that?" Well, turns out a few months before I started working there, the head honcho of the firm passed and liked to pop around to keep an eye on the staff. Okay, micromanaging, but I guess you do you, boo. Story 2. Same place. I was in school to be a dental assistant, so I was working late to make up hours. We had the world's oldest radio/tape player. We just got it back from a lawyer who used it to listen to evidence because who has tapes anymore? So lawyer played the evidence and then it got stuck in the tape player and was then confiscated by the court until they could get the tape out. Still makes me laugh. Back to my story. I'm alone in the basement working away when the radio cuts out and I heard a male's voice come over. I walked over to see if the dial needed fiddling. Nope, it was all good. I went back to work and it cut out again with the male's voice. I forget what he said, but it freaked me out and I left right then and there. Hours be damned. I'll live off noodles. I have many more stories about my haunted childhood and creepy old house. The Canadian in me would say sorry for the long email, but the Leo in me would rather not apologize for anything. Creep it real. Love you, Erica, from the duck's butt of Ontario, Canada. Oh my God, this email is... Are you Donna? You are a Leo.
Uh-huh.
The basement troll made me giggle. And the hours be damned, I'll live off noodles.
Yes. And I love the micromanaging munch, but you do you, boo. Could you imagine if you were down there and, like, you didn't know? Like, I know that the tape got dislodged and all that. But, like, if you didn't know and it, like, turned on and it was, like, some really serious shit that was being discussed and you're like, what the fuck?
Right. Well, also, I'm like, what if they couldn't get that out? What if that evidence was destroyed because they couldn't get the tape out because it was stuck? Like,
yeah.
That could have been like a confession. Probably right. Not, but it could have been. Meanwhile, it was probably like a freaking real estate deal or some shit, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm like, it could have been a killer.
Right. Ugh. I hated when that happened to your tapes because I'd have like the pencil or my finger like trying to roll it on back. Because even when I was younger, I would like one song in particular off of the thing. And so I'd be like, and to go back to it, listen to it. Now, streaming has made that so much easier. Because even CDs, you could make it skip if you did it too much. But now, it's like, here you go. Hyperfixate all you want. Okay, the next one. Hey, y'all. Love the pod. Shout out to my BFF, Shayna, for telling me about y'all. Girl, let me know if they actually read this. So, she's all caught up and listening to the current episodes as they come out. But I listen in order from the beginning. And I just got to January 2020. Side note, fucking LOL at y'all saying 2019 was a hard year for a lot of people. 2020 will be better. Story time. Picture it. 2005. I'm 15 and my family of six has recently moved out of a too small fallen apart trailer into a dated but a huge 5-bedroom house. Everyone has their own room, finally. I know, cue the poltergeist, right? Everything is going great. Room by room, we're peeling off layers of old wallpaper, choosing paint colors, all the things. Except for two rooms that were clearly already decorated for a young boy and a girl, connected by a Jack and Jill bathroom. The girly one is perfect for my 4-year-old sister. It's a lovely lavender color and has a cute blue wallpaper border with ladybugs going all around the room. Once things are more settled and everyone is used to the new place, we start noticing that my little sister doesn't sleep in her room. She'll play in there alone, happy as can be during the day. But at night, she either cries or fights with mom and dad, or she goes to bed quietly but turns up in someone else's bed at some point before morning. We chalk it up to her being used to sharing a room. Time goes by, and more often, it's a fight. She should be used to having her own room by now, right? One night, I was tired of her shenanigans, and I asked, why does she not like her room? Everyone else is glad that we have our own rooms now. Why can't you just chill? Her answer, the circle head always looks at me and I don't like it. Excuse me, what? To this day, I get goosebumps and watery eyes when I think about her saying that shit to me. So now me, my other sister who was 13, and our dad are methodically pointing out every remotely circle-shaped thing in her room. And even things visible out of the window asking, is that the circle head? This stuffed animal with a fat round face? Nope. The baseball-shaped sign in the neighbor's yard? I'm not a baby, that's a baseball. What about the shiny silver hubcap on the car? Daddy's car isn't the circle head. We're all getting frustrated. We ask her where she sees the circle head right now and if she can show us. And this spooky little bitch says, no, it's not here. The circle head only looks at me when I'm by myself. Now, in some families, this might have been just brushed off. The dad might have told the kid it's a bad dream or maybe, you know, had some monster spray for bedtime. Not in my house. My dad is of the laying on hands variety of Christian, so when it wasn't something that we could easily point out, it went like this. Dad prayed around the room, laying hands on every wall and in every corner, rebuking the circle head in the name of Jesus. You remember that cute little ladybug border I mentioned? Well, on his prayer journey around the room, he noticed that all the ladybugs had 6 dots. Obviously, that meant they were either allowing evil into the room or straight up calling it there. So he asked for a Sharpie and continued to pray while adding a dot to each and every ladybug. We thought Dad was so crazy for doing all of that. The thing is, we never heard about the circle head again after that night. Little sis would turn up in our parents' bed sometimes, but not every night. And she didn't cry and fight at bedtime anymore. I've asked her about it now that we're all grown, and she has no memory of it. She said that she vaguely remembers our dad praying in her room one time, but doesn't remember anything about the circle head or what it could have been. So what do we think? Was this simply a kid scaring herself with a spooky imagination, but being comforted by her dad believing her? Could my dad have been correct in thinking that it was an actual demon that was turned away by prayer? Some other kind of malevolent spirit or curious creature driven away by all the attention? Or, worst of all, a human creeper that decided this house wasn't worth it? If y'all actually end up reading this, I've got more stories. Creep it real.
Of course we're going to read it. We read them all. And send more in. I think the 6th thing is not real. Like, the 666, yeah, like the... like having to fix all the ladybugs, like I think that's what you make of it, you know, versus like a real demon being like, oh man, he took away all my dots, you know.
I think numbers are significant, but again, it's just like what we make of it. I mean, like when we see certain numbers and it like makes us happy or makes us think of something or whatever. But I do think that it was a comfort in her dad or your dad, but like her dad not just dismissing her. And even though, like, well, how you're saying it, it's very much like a production that he put on. And so I think that would comfort her anyway, you know? So maybe that was like the monster spray at bedtime or whatever.
Yeah.
Just his version of it. So who knows if it worked, like, because of prayer or because, you know, he calmed her nerves. Who knows? But it worked. That's just one of those things, like, a miracle is a miracle.
I literally said it the other day in an episode where I was like, I mean, a placebo effect is an effect. So, I mean, if it worked, it worked. Y'all, this episode is sponsored by Care Of. I just got my most recent shipment in of Care Of, and I am just super excited to get it included into my daily routine. What is Care Of, you ask? Well, Care Of is a health and wellness company that ships high-quality, personalized vitamins, supplements, and powders conveniently to your door every month. And you know that is a win-win for Donna and me. We ain't got to leave our house. Ship it to me.
Care Of makes taking your vitamins on the go so convenient because it's in individual daily packets that are perfect for a busy routine, or even if it's not so busy. They're still very cute. They're individualized. And they usually have a quote or something on there to make it just a little bit more special.
And if you have multiple people in your household taking Care Of, well, you know, like Donna said, the packets are individualized. So you throw a few in a suitcase for a trip and you know whose is whose. Because you take a short online quiz to get a personalized doctor-backed program just for you. So what's in Donna's bag doesn't match what's in my bag.
Now, if you do want more than just the individual packs, Care Of's best-selling vitamins are now also available in bottles. And that's, you know, in case you're not ready to do the whole monthly subscription thing. And let me tell you, I've got both.
Literally same. I love the daily wrapped packages because it really does make taking your vitamins and supplements so easy. Because I like to do it at night. And so you just open it up, take them, and you're done. Go to bed. And right now, you can get your first subscription of Care Of for 50% off. Go to takecareof.com and enter code CREEP50 at checkout.
Again, for 50% off your first Care Of subscription order, go to takecareof.com and enter code CREEP50.
Everybody wants 50% off and delivered to your door. Head on over to takecareof.com and enter code CREEP50.
Let Care Of take care of you.
Okay, the next one, ghost story. Hi, this experience is about my first paranormal experience. It's about the first time I saw a ghost when I was a kid. Every summer vacation, my family would go back to Mexico to visit family. My parents bought a house in Mexico next to my grandparents. The house was abandoned for years, and my parents were just beginning to remodel. I didn't know the history of the house until after. One summer vacation, my mom and I shared a bed. We would sleep opposite each other. Her feet would be towards my head. She couldn't sleep with my loud breathing. I woke up a random night and saw a little girl sitting on the bed. I always said it was a girl. I didn't realize people assumed a little girl, but more like a young woman. She was sitting on the bed looking at me. She had fair skin, long black hair, and she was beautiful. She was wearing all white and glowed in white light in the dark room. She had a mesmerizing sweet smile and a cute light shade of pink. When I tried speaking to her, no voice came out of me. I remember trying to scream, but I was completely locked in place and unable to speak or move. I freaked out for a second, but I was a kid, so I just thought, whatever, and went to sleep. 2 days later, I remembered what happened and casually asked my family, who was that girl from the other night? When I described who I was talking about and where I saw her, their reactions were so dramatic, it scared me. The reason their response was so dramatic was because one of my uncles would sleep over when we weren't there for the summer, occasionally bringing friends over to drink. He would mention weird things would happen, like the light turning off randomly or the TV. On one occasion, when he had friends over, they had a beer on top of a stereo. Everyone in the room witnessed that beer bottle get picked up, slid over, and dropped on the floor. When it shattered, everyone ran out of the room and out of the house. No one believed them. I ended up being the confirmation that there was definitely something going on. We tried to find out information why the previous family left, and all we ever found out was because one of their family members had hung themselves. I don't know where in the house. I'm not sure who the girl was or she's connected with the previous family. Maybe just a random angel stopping by. I will say the houses were built in the last 60 years. It used to be a big field before, and people were known for hiding their money. Maybe there's a chance we built over someone's unmarked grave? Just a theory, since almost all of the houses on our side of the street has reported a lot of paranormal activity. My parents added a second floor to the house, so whenever I go back, I only stay on the second floor. I did see one other entity in the same room where I saw the ghost. That was completely opposite from the girl, but I'll tell that story another time.
So a beautiful girl, all the things, but then it was kind of like a night terror or sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, she's so beautiful, you're so mesmerized, but then it was like, you couldn't move, you couldn't do anything.
Right. Yeah, I still want no part of that.
Uh-uh. But you know, your parents, like, their buttholes had to pucker when you said that, and it's like, oh shit, so what he had been saying is real?
Right. It's like, fuck, maybe we should have believed him.
Yeah. Also, I love the cliffhanger, so please, please, please send in more. Okay, the last one. Hey, you beautiful ladies. Longtime listener, first time writing in. I'm here to answer your call for more sinister sighting stories. I'm in my last 2 days at my current job before I move on to bigger and better things elsewhere. So I have time to kill and figured let's go ahead and talk about some spooky shit. I wanted to thank you both first for being so open about your careers and your mental health, especially with Donna starting her new job recently. It's been very scary taking the leap to leave my current job of the past 7 years and go somewhere totally different, even though I know it'll be the right move for me in the end. Well, this is probably going on too long, so I just want to jump into it. Feel free to use my name. When I was 19 years old, my boyfriend, now husband, was working at GameStop in the local shopping center. I went through a McDonald's drive-thru to get us some dinner and was parked next to his car waiting for him to go on break so we could eat together. I heard a knock at my passenger window and there was a man standing there. Because I didn't know how to say fuck politeness yet, I rolled down my window all the way like an absolute moron. The man said he was trying to get to the Air Force base and I responded that I unfortunately wasn't great with directions, so I couldn't help him. He chuckled and then responded, I know how to get there, but I don't have enough gas to get there and don't have much money. He gestured toward his white van parked 2 or so spots away from me. All right, so a strange older man in a white van is asking a teenage girl for money. This isn't totally suspicious at all. I responded that I don't carry cash on me, which was honestly true. He paused for a moment and then gestured to the grocery store a few stores down and said, would you mind going to the ATM in the grocery store and taking some money out to give me? Sir, you must think I'm all kinds of fucking stupid to get out of my car, walk past your creep van to go take money out for you. Well, I was actually a little stupid because my purse was sitting right on the passenger seat with my window fully down, so if he really wanted money, he could have just grabbed my purse and ran. Feeling uncomfortable, I told him I was a broke college student, and with the holidays coming up, I didn't have any money. He stood there for a minute before saying, thanks anyway, and going back into his van. He continued to sit there, though acting like he was doing stuff in his van. He was parked ahead of me, so I would have had to walk past his van to get to any of the storefronts. Eventually, my husband came out and got in my passenger side. At that point, another man got out from the back of the van and joined the other guy in the front seat before they drove off. I instantly felt sick because this man made no mention of having someone else with him. The back of the van was windowless, so I wouldn't have even known if someone else was back there. I should have called the police, but I was so stunned and honestly felt like they just told me the men didn't do anything illegal, so there was nothing that they could do. When I told this to my husband, thinking back to my purse just sitting on the seat with my window fully down within this man's reach, what he said gave me the chills. I don't think they wanted the money. I think they wanted you. Thanks for reading. I have a handful of ghosty stories and sleep paralysis stories I'll write in at a later date. like the time my husband and I both had a sleep paralysis dream about someone breaking into our apartment on the same night and the night I met the Hat Man. Creep it real and maybe be a little scared of creepy men in white vans. Lauren S. from Delaware.
They absolutely wanted to kidnap you.
Yes.
Because otherwise, there wouldn't be a motherfucker hiding in the back for no good, very bad reason.
Uh-huh.
Whatever that fucking movie's title is. But
well,
it's about
it was
a day.
First a book, but oh. Okay.
Well, you know, I'm not cultured.
Also, Carrie just covered Delaware. Like, and she didn't know where it was. So if y'all aren't on the Patreon, you wouldn't know that. So I just had to throw that out there. But it's just funny that, like, you're from Delaware. You're the last story. And she literally just covered this.
Well, not this story.
Well,
but
not
yeah.
this story, but a terrible one.
Yeah. So if you want to listen to that, you got to be on Patreon.
But yes, multiple things about this. Love that you and your boyfriend knew each other. Like, I mean, like, y'all were dating at 19. Now you're husband and wife. Also that he worked at GameStop. There was this teacher, professor, like associate professor.
He was a grad student.
Okay, grad student. What the fuck ever? I don't know. But he worked at GameStop and I was his nemesis.
You really were.
I really was. Like when he was my English 101 teacher and then Carrie had English 102 with me, but we had him again. And I swear to God, when I walked in, he was like, his day was ruined.
And by day, she means semester.
And of course, I had to sit right up front. Had to. And my best friend was there with me now.
So we were extra rowdy.
Extra.
You know, when we went to class.
That is true.
God, that's so scary. Like, how quickly things could have changed.
Yes. Well, and also, like, he just pivoted. What was he doing? Improv? Like, anything you said, he had something else to counter it.
And I'm sorry. No, I'm not going to go to the fucking ATM for you so that you can get some cash. No, first of all, that ATM will have a fee and I'm not paying it.
Right?
But also, I thought about, man, I bet that people who ask for cash like that really got fucked when people started using debit cards for everything.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad too because I'm always like, no, I really don't have change. Like, I feel so bad, but there's nothing. Also, not in my bank account either. All I can think about is you seeing that man get out of the back.
That's like the part that sticks with you.
Because, you know, you don't want to be the person who's like, oh, man, creepy man in a creepy white van, you know. But then, like, that's exactly what it is. But then you had confirmation when a fucking another creepy man came out of the back.
Man, that story is fucked up. Thank you for sharing it.
Yes.
I love that y'all have heeded my call for stories because keep them coming. If you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.